Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 1 through 45. Prepare your hearts for the reading of God's holy word. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days, and then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. There ends the reading of God's holy word. May the Lord give his blessing to the reading and the hearing of it.
Okay, if we could have all the children come in up for the front for the children's message. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Okay. Now, for the past 4 weeks, we've had visitors come for our children's message. Can you tell me who they were? Who was the first one? A bunny, right? Second week was what?
A mouse.
Third week was? Frog. And last week was the? Okay, well, we have another guest visiting us today. Okay. So how are you all doing today?
Good.
Okay. I'm glad I have another chance to be with you. Today I have a new friend who will be flying in any moment now. His name is Dwayne. Dwayne the Duck. Let's see if we can get him to land in here and visit. We need to call him by making a duck sound like this. Quack, quack. Okay, so whenever I count to three, you guys help call him in, okay? One, two, three.
Look out. Here I come. Wow. Rough flight. Sure was cloudy today above the church, but I made it. And I'm glad to be here. Well, good morning, Terry. How have you been?
I've been good.
And how have you been, children?
Good.
Fine, I hope. That's great. Everyone's doing good. Quack.
Well, welcome, Dwayne. Thanks for coming. I understand you have a story to tell us about the first Easter morning.
Yeah. Only my family calls me Dwayne. You can call me No Dignity Duck. About that story. You bet your booties, kid. It was a funny weekend. There I was, flying along at low altitude, coming down about 300 feet when the sky turned black. The lightning flashed and the earth shook. Quack. Why, it scared me so much, I flaps down and headed to the ground for cover. I thought I was a dead duck. That's when it happened.
What happened?
Why, the resurrection of Jesus. There I was on the ground. Suddenly, two men came running out. One was slightly faster than the other, but they both made a beeline for the cemetery. They were running like they were being chased. I just flopped along at low altitude to see what I could see. I knew something was up. And then they came to the tomb of Jesus. And then they looked in. Actually, they went in. But Jesus wasn't there. He was already gone. Two angels in the tomb told those men to quit looking there and to go tell the good news that Jesus had risen. That's what I saw.
That has to be the most interesting event in the history of the world. You realize you are the fifth one to come and tell the same truth of Jesus rising from the tomb?
Well, Terry, it's the truth. That's the way it was. I was there. Jesus rose. He said he would. And he did. No questions about it. Children, you need to know that Christ is a living Lord. He is risen and gives you the same hope. And he asks you to tell others.
That is exactly what you have done, Dwayne. You told us the story once again.
I'll never quit telling it either, Terry. Matter of fact, boys and girls, I need to fly on now. I've got an appointment in another nest, so I better just quack on out of here. Hey, have a good day, Terry. Goodbye, children. Gotta fly.
You know, I know I've been challenging us all this Lenten season, and my messages haven't been all that warm and fuzzy lately, but I have some good news for you this morning. God has a resurrection planned, and He has it planned for you. In His infinite mercy and wisdom, God wants to bring you out into the light again. He wants to bring you out of that tomb of oppression and that tomb of depression. And He wants to give you a new start. And make no mistake, He has the power to do it. God can bring you back to life. Our scripture lesson from John 11 for this fifth Sunday in Lent speaks to what I'm talking about. Now let's just briefly remember what was going on. Mary and Martha, who live in Bethany, are Jesus' closest friends. They send word to Him that their brother Lazarus is very sick. "Please come. We need your help," they say. But by the time Jesus gets there, Lazarus has died and been in the grave for 4 days. Now Mary and Martha share their grief as they tell Jesus the news. "He's gone. We've lost Him. Oh Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother wouldn't have died." The family, the friends, the professional mourners have all gathered. They're making the required lament over the loss of Lazarus. The heart of Jesus goes out to them and He weeps with them because He loved Lazarus too, and He loves them, and He shares their pain. Now, Jesus goes out to the cave-like tomb. He says, "Roll back the stone." And Martha, always the realist, says, "But Lord, you know, we can't do that. It's going to stink." Well, it doesn't say that, but we know that's what she meant. Jesus says, "Martha, only believe, and you will see the power of God." So they roll the stone away. Jesus cries out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus is resurrected. He comes out of the tomb. He still has on his grave clothes. His head and his feet are still wrapped up with bandages. And Jesus turns to the friends and the family of Lazarus, and He says to them, "Unbind him. Let him go. Unwrap him. Set him free." In this dramatic account, there are three really awesome lessons that jump out at us. There are three great truths that we absolutely need to hear for the living of our own lives, and they are stuck in the middle of this account. Let me tell you what they are. Jesus wept with those who He loved, and He still does. Jesus raised people up, and He still does. Jesus included others in the healing process, and He still does. Now, first off, Jesus wept with those He loves, and He still does. Do you know that John 11:35, shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. You know, there used to be a time back in the day when you were at Sunday school and they had sword drills and everybody said, "Anybody know, anybody memorize a verse of in the Bible?" And you could raise your hand if you were first, because whoever was first said John 11:35, Jesus wept. And you know what? You would get a sticker by your name for that. You know, "Ooh, pick me, pick me." Jesus wept. And I got a sticker for that week. You know, many years ago, we had a young couple in the congregation who lost a baby to SIDS. I got the call and I ran to the hospital, and I have to tell you, I was terrified, just terrified. I had never dealt with anything like that before, this faithful young couple. I prayed on the way, fervently, Lord, give me words to say, and none came. I got there, and I walked into that scene, and there were no words. There were only tears to share. I have been with parents whose young daughter died as a passenger in a minor car accident. I've been with a young mother whose adolescent son committed suicide. I've been with countless others in the midst of grief and tragedy and despair, and I wanted to share with you this morning what I have learned. When people are in grief, they don't want theological truth, deep pronouncements. They just want someone to come and love them. They just want someone to come and cry with them. Jesus wept with those he loved, and he still does. He hurts with us. He feels our pain. We all face suffering and loss at some time or another. And when it comes, we don't want people quoting scripture to us. The one thing we know is that the Lord is hurting with us and that he loves us through it. And he will walk through the valley with us. And in time, he will bring us out that valley of sorrow to the mountaintop on the other side. Jesus wept with those he loved, and he still does. But the second truth that we see in this account is that Jesus raised people up, and he still does. You know, on occasion, I have been at a loss to handle certain situations, and I have to tell you, I kind of cheat when that happens, and I look in scripture and I see, well, you know, like, how did they do it? Or specifically, if you can find, how did Jesus handle certain situations? Well, I don't know if you ever noticed this or not, but there is no record of Jesus ever doing a funeral. The only thing that Jesus ever did was raise people up. Jesus only did resurrections. He only lifted people up. Now listen to Denise as she's going to share with us an old song that speaks to that very thing. Put you on the spot.
When I am down and oh, my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. Raise me up to more than I can be. There is no life, no life without its hunger. Each restless heart beats so imperfectly. But when you come and I am filled with wonder, sometimes I think I glimpse eternity. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. Raise me up to more than I can be. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. Raise me up to more than I can be.
Thanks, Denise.
He raises us up. Here in John 11, Jesus resurrects Lazarus. He raises him up and he brings him out of the tomb and he says, Lazarus, come forth. Now notice how personal this is. He calls Lazarus by name. Now here's the deal. If you listen carefully this morning, you will hear Jesus calling your name. Personal. Jesus has a resurrection for you. He wants to bring you out of that tomb, whatever it is that is imprisoning you, and he wants to set you free. And make no mistake, he has the power to do it. If you will take a moment to hear his call, if you take a moment to respond in faith, he will raise you up. He will give you a new start. He will give you a new chance. He will give you a new life. Jesus wept with those he loved, and he still does. Jesus raised people up, and he still does. Now, the third and final thing that we see in this dramatic account is that Jesus included other people in the healing, and he still does. Now, please do not gloss over this part. Notice what happens when Lazarus comes out of the tomb. Jesus turns to Lazarus' friends and family, and he says, unbind him, unwrap him, and set him free. Jesus is making a point. That statement is there for a reason. You know, in large churches, there are what are called small groups. Now, the idea is that in large congregations, people fall through the cracks. Small groups are the way large churches pretend to be small churches. And I think it's really kind of humorous the way some people in large churches think that that's cutting-edge ministry. Because small groups are as old as the Bible. And small groups have always been the way God uses his children to minister to each other. Jesus knew how important it is for us to have our family and our friends helping us, surrounding us with love, supporting us, encouraging us, setting us free in every moment, but especially in those huge moments when we're trying to make a new start in our lives. I went to a seminary with a young man who was some kind of brethren, some brand of brethren. There are many, many different worship traditions that are brethren. And he said that in his worship tradition, when a particular church reached 200 members, the leadership required that it split. The church had to split down the middle, and one church had to begin somewhere else with 100 members, and 100 members would stay at the original location. Now, the reason for that was sound. The reason is pretty much 200 members is as big as an extended family could get. 200 members is as many people as you can know within your world. Now, I am going to share with you one of the most fulfilling moments in my ministry. And that is when one of our church family comes to me and tells me how other church members are doing. I just love that. When a church member comes to me and says, I just got a call from somebody, they're on vacation somewhere. When someone calls me and says, you know, I was somewhere with someone this past week. When I hear how our church family are friends and are hanging out with each other outside of these walls, And when I know that I am not the only one that is checking up on everybody or visiting everybody, that's when the church is being the church. That's the purpose of the church. Now, you understand what I'm saying, right? I'm saying that we have church family who God brings out of the tomb, and they are met by the rest of us who love them back to life. We together are the ones that unbind each other's grave clothes. There are no lone wolves for Jesus. God raises us up, and then he tells the rest of us, unbind them, set them free. That's what it means to do church. We are all in this together. Jesus wept with those he loved, and he still does. Jesus raises people up, and he still does. Jesus included others in the healing, and he still does. And that, my friends, is my good news this morning. It's my encouragement this morning. We are all in this together. We are not alone. Christ is risen, and if you let him, he will resurrect you. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, it's really tough sometimes, because when we are hurting, what we want to do is retreat. But we know that's the enemy. And we pray, Father God, that we would always remember that it is your plan for us all to be in this together. We are tethered together like mountain climbers. When one of us fall, all the rest of us have to hold on tighter. Help us to have each other's back, Father God, because you have us all in the palm of your hands. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.